Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 301. We're still in Japan. It's me and Matt. Matt is back with us here. What a fucking day this was. This was fucking awesome. I mean, I don't even know where to start, honestly. I mean, like, with everything that happened on that show. I've been to 4 wrestling shows since the last time I've talked to the people. They were all fucking great. Like, there has not been a single bad show. The All Japan Korakuen was fucking awesome on Thursday. The King Gotcha show yesterday was incredible. I mean, Eric, also known as Snazzy, of course, a frequent guest, he's like DMing me during that show. He's like, the other King Gotcha, because episode 2 is season 2. He's like, the first one fucking sucked.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how you got this episode. You're like the good luck charm. And he was like, you have to go next week to make that one good too. Because, yeah, they did, that show opens up. I guess I'm just talking about it now. That show opens up, and obviously the whole gimmick is, it's a marvelous thing. And the matches are randomized. I'm a little drunk, by the way, so this is going to be a sloppier than usual, even sloppier than my usual sloppy self.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Because I had 2 drinks for dinner and I had a strong zero cracked open here. But yeah, the marvelous, the King Gotcha show, you know, it's just, you don't, the whole gimmick, if people don't, I hope people listen to this know what Gotcha is, probably. I mean, who listens to Wrestling Omakase without being a big enough weed to know what Gotcha is? But yes, Gachapon, like random. Nicole's playing a gacha game literally behind me right now in this hotel room. We're in Tokyo, by the way. I don't think I mentioned that. We're now no longer in Osaka. We're in the Hotel Amanek in Tokyo. A small room, but, you know, pretty decent. For $800 for 7 nights. I like it.
Gets the job done. Great location.
Great location, yeah. Like, literally right off of the main Kabuki show drag. But yeah, so it's a randomized thing. So you don't know the card. You have no idea who the wrestlers on the show are going to be. You have no idea who the match is going to be. They send out Senka first, Senka Asuki, of course, that makes sense, she works for Marvelous. Then they send out Aja Kong. And they're like, here is Senka versus Aja again. I'm just like, what the fuck? And the second one from this year's Marvelous Vegas show hasn't even aired yet. It's not even online. Apparently it's going to air next week, finally. But here I am seeing the third one in person, after I saw the second one in person in Vegas. And before anyone else in the entire world had seen the second one. So yeah, they only went like 8 minutes, but it was like a fucking 4-star 8-minute match, or 7-minute match, which is an incredible fucking match again. Aja Kong did beat her again. But yeah, that was the highlight of that show. Plus actually there were multiple highlights of that show, because there was also the Actress Girls Reunion match, where they all danced repeatedly to the, what was it called? Love Something. I can't remember the name of the song now. Velky's gonna kill me. It's like Love Riddle,
right?
Love Riddle, thank you.
Boom.
Love Riddle. And basically, they'd all dance at the start of the song, because all the wrestlers were formerly from Actress Girls. And like Riho Kawabata doing her former, you know, babyface gimmick. But yeah, you had just Chiaki out there from Mari Gold. Just really, really, just, the, I don't even remember the rest of them were. But, like, they were, Saki, obviously, from Colors. But, yeah, every time they would dance to start the match, and every time the music would come on again, which was repeatedly, they would have to dance again and stop in the middle of the match. It was really, really fucking funny. The main event, Tommy the ref, she even had danced at one point because everybody else was dead, and she just started. That was the fucking funniest part. And the main event was a five-way softcore rules match instead of hardcore, where you could only use, like, you know, like, funny weapons, basically. It was fucking great. One of the most creative hardcore matches I've ever seen in my life, honestly. And yeah, just an incredible show. And then today, first went to Ice Ribbon, which was a great fucking show, too, their 20th anniversary show. 2 4-star plus matches, the last two matches. Unfortunately, the wrestlers I wanted to win didn't win either of them. The Hikari Minami and Riko lost the tag title match, and then Yuka did not win the Ice Infinity title. But two fucking awesome matches. And then fucking started the conversion, which was like the best show of the year. So, I mean, just, I don't know. I don't even know where to start with that one. Just for, why don't I start with the venue? Because you've never been to Yoyogi.
Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. I think it doesn't get hyped up enough. I mean, I haven't been to Sumo Hall or Corking yet. Looking forward to doing that in a couple days. But I feel like Yoyogi never really gets hyped up, but that's an unbelievable venue. And that atmosphere today, by far the best I've ever experienced at a wrestling show. I mean, nothing, I don't want to say it blew Dominion out of the water, but it was definitely better than Dominion. I thought Dominion was a great atmosphere. So it was just a really cool venue. I mean, there's no bad seat in that place. You could be in the upper corner, top row, and you're right on top of the action. Just awesome, awesome venue.
Yeah, I had front row, and like there were times when the cameraman was a little annoying, honestly. Like, he was like right... And front row in this building is also kind of far from the ring, mm-hmm. because of the lighting rig setup. But, I mean, whatever. Again, this is one of those things where people listen and be like, oh, let me get out my tiny violin for you. Your front row seat to start in the conversion was less than perfect. I get it. But it was fucking great. The stage setup looked great. I mean, you brought it up to me. It's like, for all the talk of, like, Brokey Road and shit, like, they sure spent their money on this.
I mean, they made a 3,000-seat arena look like the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
It was a great stage setup. Like, when they started doing the lasers,
yeah.
It made everything feel so big. It was like stimulation overload. Like, on some of those entrances, it was unbelievable. I can't think of any wrestling show that I've been to that comes close to it.
I mean, I think, honestly... Well, you want to bury AEW again and make the AEW fans mad? The AEW stage setups always suck.
Yes.
Like, for the amount of money they spend on fucking talent, it's like, why don't you cut one of your fucking six-figure deals and spend some actual money on production? It blows my mind every year I go to Wrestle Kingdom, and I'm just like, why does this look so much... Because I've been to AEW pay-per-views. They never look anywhere near that cool.
No.
So I'm like, I don't know. Like, all the money they fucking spend on... fucking talent, they don't spend on their fucking production, clearly, because the stages never look that cool.
I had that same thought. I haven't been to AEW in a while, but I was like, this is so much better than any show I've been to in America. Yeah. Like, not even close.
Yeah. I mean, it's just did really, really cool stage setup. It makes me wonder if Bushiroad is going to spend more money now on Stardom now they don't have New Japan, but I guess we'll see. But yeah, like, as far as the venue's awesome, I've been to Yogi a couple times. It's always a great venue. Yeah, I always enjoy going back there. But yeah, just really, really cool show. I met Callum. That was cool. Callum from the Worst Wrestling Discord. Very, very nice man.
Awesome.
Didn't get to meet up with him after the show, but the show went like 4.5 hours, so I get it.
It went a while.
But yeah, it was cool to meet him.
No, always great to meet somebody that you've been able to interact with, and we always appreciate Callum doing the translations for us live a lot of times. And he was awesome. Great to meet up with, and hopefully we get to meet up with him again.
But yeah, let's just go through the card. I mean, I don't want to kill... We don't have to waste too much time here, because we got Club Mogul to get to, so... Where the fuck are my notes? Okay. The opener, like I said, even slobber than usual. We're a few drinks in. The restaurant I went to for dinner... Like, I just picked... I don't know if there's anyone else in New York where you can pick any random fucking place and walk down a fucking basement floor, and it's just fucking great. And it's like two... Like, even if the yen to dollars, one of them was like $20 each. And I got, like, I think either two or three drinks... I think. And then, like, all the food we have is so great. Ugh, it's just...
I said my experience everywhere on this trip is, without even doing the yen to dollar conversion, just when I see that my bill, it's always, that's it?
Yeah.
That's it? I mean, everything is so, so fairly priced, and it's incredible what you get for your money.
Yeah. I mean, it was very, and just the food was great, and the karaage was so good.
Very good.
I want more of the karaage right now.
Very good.
Starting the conversion, Tokyo National Yogi Gymnasium, second gym. It opened up with two Die Zero matches. The first one, I walked in kind of in the middle of, so I can't really rate it or anything, but Yuna Mizumori beat Mitori Hamabe in 5 minutes and 47 seconds. You were at your seat from the start, I think. Any thoughts? I love Mitori, and I thought she looked... Yeah. She always looks great to me, but...
Yeah, I was there for it. It was... it was kind of your standard, pre-show match. Nothing really crazy, but it was, I wanted to make sure I was in my seats because I said I want to see Mitori, because I think of all the rookies, she's probably the most talented in ring.
Yeah.
Even though she's had the least amount of time because of her injuries. But nothing really truly stand out in this match. But, I mean, we'll talk about her more on the show. She had, some storyline stuff. But, it was cool to see how involved the crowd already was, even though, everybody's kind of walking in and getting to their seats and everything. But it was, everybody still was focused on the match, and it was good.
Well, that's the other macro thing. What a fucking crowd this was.
Yes.
I mean, you and I were talking about that before the show. This was a better crowd than the Dominion crowd.
Yes.
I'm sure it was less people because it's a smaller building. But, like, this crowd was into fucking everything. And it's crazy because this promotion, I feel like I've talked about it a million times. They used to have the shittiest crowds in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have dead silent fucking crowds. And this crowd was going nuts for everything all night. They were super hot for everything. There was some stuff, like, when Utami and Saya faced off finally, where, like, they sounded like they were fucking watching Rock and Austin. Like, they were fucking going crazy.
People were losing their minds.
Yeah.
Like, people were losing their minds in my section.
I mean, you want to talk about a hot promotion.
Yeah.
And speaking of hot promotion, I'm doing this off of, like, a half-loaded... did the Stardom site finally load again? Yeah, they crashed the Stardom site with their... I assume a lot of that because of the result of the main event. And they crashed the... what's it called?
Shoe Pro.
The Shoe Pro site.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
We've been trying to get results and attendance, and it's been so tough to load these sites. I mean, and you'd think that's probably what it is with, just so many people logging on at the same time.
Yeah. They still don't have an attendance on the Stardom site either.
Maybe we'll say it up front, since, usually that's kind of how we lead into a show. I think at least 2,500 plus.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd say like 95% or more full of the seats they had set up. I mean, there were maybe a couple empty seats sprinkled here and there, but I mean, there was no section where it wasn't like at least 90% full.
Yeah, they were like the ones they close off the stage, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the stuff was really full. The other dark match, this was better than a normal dark match to me.
Yes.
was May Sierra beating Emma Maishima in 9 minutes and 10 seconds, excuse me. Very fun, surprising along for a dark match, like I just said. Emma always looks good. May, since coming back, has looked really good. And yeah, just really enjoyable match.
Yeah, May is
three and a quarter.
She's effortless. It's like she can have a great match with anybody, and Emma has been it's been cool to see her put everything together, I think, especially the last month or two, and she's gotten really popular. Like, the crowd was really, really getting into her, getting on, whether, she wasn't on offense and trying to cheer her on or getting excited when she gets some offense in. There were some Emma chants breaking out. She's kind of starting to see a surge in popularity. I think joining Neo Genesis is only going to increase that.
Then we had Aya Sakura beating Ane Kaneya, which was the opener of the main show. This one's 7 minutes and 19 seconds. Aya won with a German. So people haven't seen, they've been doing a lot of skits on Twitter, basically, with... it was supposed to be the Sakurara trials. It really just turned to the Aya Sakura trials. Because I guess, Saika had better things to do. But yeah, I mean, the segments are really fucking funny. People haven't seen them. She's even been trying to, like, subtitle them in English, but, like, not perfectly because it's, like, automated. But she's going out of her way, for her foreign fans, which is cool. And, yeah, I haven't watched the last one yet with the classroom. But even the still images are really funny. Just because Aya has such an expressive face. And, like, the image of her, like, sternly looking at Ane, and Ane looking all nervous, which is really fucking funny. But, yeah, Ane was really fired up here. Aya doesn't have a lot of experience working from the top in a match, because, mm-hmm. obviously, she's a younger wrestler, usually the underdog. I thought she was really good at it here. I thought she was, like, really good at working from the top. Yeah, another 3.25, so the show was all the way off to a great start.
Yep, I mean, I don't really have anything to add beyond that. It was awesome opener, and you could... Going from, like, the pre-show matches to the full show match when they turn the lights down, and that you could really feel the crowd kicking it up a notch for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot put up with the crowd enough. I mean, yeah. Just one of those magical crowds to be in, just kind of like, I mean, Dream Kingdom was the same way in December. It's like, again, there's hot promotions and there's not hot promotions. Mm-hmm. And this, Dominion was a fun show.
It was.
Dominion was a B-plus show. But you could see the difference in the crowd level. Like, this felt like being back at like a 2010 Zoo Japan show.
That match to the opener, the official opener, that's kind of where I had that idea in my mind. I'm like, oh, this is what we're getting tonight. Like, this is...
Yeah.
beyond just a good show with a good crowd, like this could be one of the best crowds we've seen.
Then we have the three-way tag, which was Rana Yagami and Kyoko Katatsu beating Itsuke Aoki and Akira Kurigane. It was Yagami pinning Akira in 5 minutes and 31 seconds. Also, Micah and Koguma was the other team. It was over really fast, but like fun as hell while it lasted. Yeah. We see the opening comedy. Obviously, Rana did not want to do the bear thing. The fact that that's just like the eternal storyline they always go back to is so fucking funny to me. But when they started doing like all the dives and shit, it was great too. And I was like, okay, why this could have gotten more time, if anything. And I'm saying that on a show that went 4.5 hours.
Something had to get cut somewhere. But yeah, it was great.
Three stars. Yeah. Fine little match.
The crowd loved the Kuma stuff at the start. And then like you said, it's like they flipped the switch for like the last 2 minutes and just went crazy.
The first match in the show just fucking kicked ass, which was the Artist of Stardom title match. The champion team, God's Eye, also Dream Trine. Ame Sori, Hina, and Lady C defeating the team of Maki Ito, Kikyo, Furusawa, and Rion. It was Hina pinning Rion with the mad splash in 16 minutes and 2 seconds. As the foremost Maki Ito hater, and you got to eat some crow here because this match fucking ruled so hard. And now, granted, Maki Ito wasn't like the biggest part of it, but like she had this exchange with Lady C in the middle that was really good. And these are two wrestlers that don't like get the most platitudes. I don't know. I'm a little drunk, everybody. The most like acclaim. How about that?
Yeah. There you go.
From the Stardom audience, and they were both really good here.
Yeah.
And this match was fucking awesome. And by the way, these ratings are off when I'm sober, so you don't have to worry about that. But I'm not. There's no drunk inflation here. But yeah, we got, first of all, the new group entrance for the Ito Respect Gunden. I saw some of the old school Tokyo Joshi fans were kind of upset that Maki brought this song back without Mizuki. But
as a true hater, I was in the bathroom.
Okay.
I went to the bathroom for the entrance.
Oh, the performance was so great, though.
I'll have to go back and watch it on the pay-per-view.
The only thing that was weird was Rion didn't have matching gear the other two. Like, they have the new song, they have the whole dance, but she still got the pink gear that doesn't match. And you can see the EXV on the back of the trunks. I'm like, okay, you gotta get that gear change, girl. Because this match fucking ruled! This was so great. Dream Fine, I haven't even seen the Korakuen. You said that was awesome.
It was awesome.
The fucking match where they won the belts to Korakuen was fucking awesome. This match was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this trio is putting together like a tag team of the year case to me. And I know some people are like, oh, you can't vote for trios or tag team of the year. Fucking watch me. Because this trio is fucking great. And they they complement each other so well. You have Ami, the big powerhouse. You have Lady C, who's like the greatest, like, I don't know how she's that much of an
underdog.
She's
the 5'10" underdog.
Yeah, the 5'9", 5'10" underdog. And Hino's just like, you know, the ace in training, basically. Just can do everything. And they complement each other so well. And the other team, I mean, Maki Ito was really good. Kikyo was really good. But Rion, this was like the Rion show.
Yeah.
I mean, the final change for her and Hino was incredible. 4.25 stars. This match fucking ruled so hard.
I'm happy to eat crow on this one. It ruled. It absolutely ruled. You know, it's kind of like the Stardom House style, whether it's tag matches or trios matches. A lot of times you'll get like a pair kind of square off and they'll be in the ring for almost like a singles match down the stretch.
Yeah.
We got that with Hina and Rion here, and they were just so good against each other. Like you said, Hina felt like an ace.
Yeah.
She felt like an ace, and Rion gave just an all-time great underdog performance. I mean, that crowd was living and dying with everything she did. I mean, it's just one of those.
Well, they were so behind, you know, Respect Gunden in general.
Yeah.
Which, again, that unit's very over right now. But
I regret to report. Yes.
I mean, I was cheering for Dream Front. I love this.
Same.
But yeah, the crowd was worth, you know, Respect Gunden.
But Hina and Rion, great matchup, and they're in the same block in the GP.
Yeah. I got the blocks.
So. Okay, we'll talk about. So I was very excited to see that.
So after this, Thekla show up to attack Taro. This is the only thing on the show I didn't like.
Yeah.
Because besides the fact that, you know, AEW hater and all, like, it makes no fucking sense that this woman has been spitting on the Stardom logo, cursing off the promotion for months. Every single wrestler on the roster practically has reacted to it on Twitter. Why the fuck didn't the entire roster run out to kick her ass?
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense. So she like, has a razor. She comes up behind Taro while he's talking and tries to shave him. And then she gets to the ring and starts beating him up. And then finally Starlight Kid saves him. It takes her fucking forever. And then she has like the other wrestlers at ringside all kick her out of the building. But yeah, Starlight Kid does grab the AEW Women's World title. She like poses with it and she tells the crowd, I'm going to win it. She's fucking not going to win it, I can tell you right now. I mean, I shouldn't say 0% chance. if they finally want to have an outsider win this, win a fucking AEW title, this could be the time, just because Tony Khan keeps saying he loves Starlight Kid, and maybe Mercedes will win the... Mercedes loves Joshi. So I could see Mercedes pitching that, like, she wins Owen, because she's in the finals, I believe. Which, if I'm wrong on that, you know, again, if it's like the semifinals or something, draw us out the finals. I don't watch this promotion, I'm sorry. But yeah, I could see a scenario where Starlight Kid wins it and then drops the title to Mercedes. But I wouldn't bet the house on it, because AEW outsiders do not win AEW titles. That's for AEW people can win your titles, you can't win their titles.
We don't want it. We don't want it. But yeah, I thought
it just, I want it for Starlight Kid. I think I'd be happy.
I do, but I don't want us being stuck with an AEW belt. But I don't, well, yeah, this
you
segment,
know they would take. She would lose that thing to Mercedes in like a month, probably.
Sure. But yeah, no, the whole segment, it just felt very American wrestling brained. You know, felt out of place. I mean, like everything on the show, the crowd loved everything. They loved everything. So, and that was kind of my thought was like, yeah, this, I don't know, this is kind of lame and American wrestling brained, but the vibes are so good, I can't even really complain too much. Yeah.
So we got the 5-star blocks. So red block A, this is a loaded fucking block.
This was kind of like surprise. I thought there was a chance they could do this, but they just suddenly, it's like, boom, 5-star blocks. Like they cut to it so quickly.
Okay. Yeah, so it was Micah, Sayakura, Rina, Tomoka Inaba, Itsuke Aoki, which all the freelancers got huge pops.
Yes.
Aoki got a gigantic pop. Eric at home, when he watches it, I don't think he's watching it live. When he watches the show, he's going to be so happy.
Yes.
Azumi, Natsuka Tora, and then Qualifier 1. So there's going to be two qualifiers.
Awesome block.
Yeah, that is a loaded fucking block. I mean, we're getting Azumi versus Sayaka, Azumi versus Rina again.
They're all pretty loaded, but that was kind of just my first. I didn't realize it was only 7 because I was like, man, that's loaded.
Red B is Konami, Saya Ida, Lady C, Azusa Inaba, Mei Sierra, Rita Yamashita, Maki Ito, and Utami Yashishita. I mean, they're all kind of loaded, to be honest. But
They are. Utami versus Yamashita, like, sign me up for that. I mean, they're among many other matches, but a lot of great ones.
Utami versus Konami, yeah.
Yeah.
Blue A, Aya Sakura, Hanako, Rion, Hina, Miyu Amasaki, Raka, B Priestly, and Suzu Suzuki. Probably the weakest block, but at the same time, you still have the new red belt champion.
Yeah.
You have Aya in there against, you know, Aya and Hina, Aya and Miyu, Aya and Suzu, I'm into all that. But yeah, you have Araka and B and Hanako, a little weak.
That was my interpretation, was probably the weakest block, but then Blue B might be the best.
Yeah, Blue B, you have Starlight Kid, Hanan, Yuna Mizumori, Koguma, Amisore, Saya Kamatani, Momo Watanabe, and the second qualifier. So you're getting Saya versus Momo.
Saya, Momo, Starlight Kid, and Hanan all in the same block.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
So the two big names missing, besides the one we all do, like Hazuki and all of them are going to be overseas, no Siori, no Poi.
That was a big shock.
So
big, big shock.
That kind of explains why we're missing Cinderella this year, because I guess they want to be in one of the two tournaments. Now, later on we find out what Poi is going to challenge for the IWGP. I don't know what Siori's doing. We really have no clue. Maybe they're just banged up and they just want to
take
the tour off. I mean, that's very possible.
That's a point I wanted to make. Stardom's at a point now. It's so loaded. You can't even fit everybody into a 32-person tournament. If somebody's a little bit banged up, the promotion's so hot right now, it's not, hey, can you tough this out? We need you to draw.
Yeah.
Like, you say, okay, just take it easy. Yeah. And everybody else will pick up the slack. That could be part of it. I mean, we'll see. I mean
obviously,
Ano obviously does some Oz Academy stuff. She might be doing some other stuff.
She's gonna be a Sendai girl.
Yeah. So I mean, I would much rather them be in the tournament than not be in it. But Stardom's at such a point depth wise now that it doesn't feel like some catastrophic loss.
Right. I mean, it's a personal disappointment to me as they're my two favorite wrestlers in the
promotion. Absolutely.
And Siori had an incredible 5-star last year, I thought. But I mean, you know, we're going to get lots of great matches still. I'm not going to sit here and whine about it. But, you know, they're not in the tournament.
I do like that Poi's challenging for the IWGP because it's, okay, even, because it's going to be on the opening night of the Grand Prix, too.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so it's good that she's still being used in a meaningful way.
Then we have, speaking of Poi, Natsu Poi, Siriano, Hazuki, and Fuwa-chan beating Natsuka Tora, Uraka, Azusa Inaba, and Fukigen. Poi beat Fukigen in 8-19 with the Fairy Magic. Good little match here. A lot of comedy with Fukigen, as you'd expect. But I enjoyed it. 3.25.
Pretty much your standard great hate multi-tag. I mean, you've seen him at Corkin. You see him on the house shows. They didn't reinvent anything, and they don't have to. They're all great. And I have to say, the hate entrance live Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you feel it.
It's old hat to me by now, but it was the first time.
That was my first time, and my soul left my body.
The first time you hear that theme song, it's great.
Yeah.
That one and the Sire one, actually, both yes. of them. Okay, Xena beat Hanako in 10 minutes and 18 seconds. I went pee. Okay. So I missed this match. Did you see anything about this?
It was a good match. It was not, this was probably the one that maybe started out not as hot as some of the other matches, but they really got it going. Xena, unbelievably over with this crowd. And I think a big part of it is, everybody knows that she's, kind of winding down her last days. And I think the crowd kind of really just wanted to show appreciation to her that, hey, we love you. We're sad to see you go, but we appreciate everything you've done. And I think it's worth mentioning that not just with Xena, I think some of the other matches coming up, the callbacks to previous conversion shows, Xena main evented against Micah on this show 2 years ago, in the same building, same show. And that show was kind of the one that basically jump-started Stardom on this hot period. So I kind of recognized that. And I was like, that's kind of cool that it comes full circle here. I think a lot of people forget that she main evented that show. That was a great show. That was kind of in the middle of the split, and people weren't sure if Stardom was ever going to really recover back to where they were. What a crazy thing to think at this point. But, I mean, things were not great at that point, and that show was so good. That was what kind of really jump-started this hot period, and Xena was in the main event of that one. So I think it's kind of cool that here we are, same show 2 years later, and the crowd really showed how much they appreciated her.
She announced after the match she is leaving Japan, so there have been a lot of speculation, but we finally got the confirmation. Her final match will be July 8th at Korakuen. So not even the next Korakuen, the Korakuen after. But yeah. Then we had another big fucking match here. It was Utami Yashishita, Azumi, Miyu Yamasaki, and Starlight Kid beating Saya Kamatani, Momo Watanabe, Konami, and B. Priestley. Utami pinning Saya in 15-18 with the Crusade. I mean, this was fucking... This is like as great as an 8-woman tag as you could have. I mean, the fucking crowd was into everything. They did the big tease of the Maya... Utami, Saya... Again, drunk. Utami, Saya showdown before the match. And, they acted like they were going to do it. And then Saya, turned her back and, went back to the corner. That was great. And instead, we got Momo starting for a return match. The crowd was super hot for that. They were, so happy to have her back.
And then Azumi jumped in. The crowd loved seeing those two. There was so much backstory in this match.
This is the lore match.
This is the lore match, and the crowd was here for every second of it.
The crowd was just like, give us all the Queen's Quest lore.
I mean, they had the crowd eating out of the palm of their hands this whole match.
And then when Utami and Saya finally came together, that was fucking... the crowd was just like, oh my fucking God, we're seeing it finally.
Yeah.
And this idea... I actually saw people before she came back that had takes that were like... We want to talk about takes that aged like milk already. People are never going to remember Utami. I don't know why she's going back to Stardom. The crowd's not even going to care. It's all new fans. The fucking crowd went crazy.
Absolutely nuts.
So
her entrance. I mean, when a wrestler's done... So she came out by herself before Neo Genesis came out together.
Yeah.
Right when the music kind of goes down and before the next song hits, there's that one period and the whole crowd is going, Utami!
Remember her.
No, it's...
Fucking dumbass.
I mean, she was one of the most popular people on the show. When she was announced for the Grand Prix, I think people were surprised by it. Place went absolutely nuts when she showed up for the Grand Prix, too. So, I mean, there's no question she's already back to being one of the most popular people on the roster.
But yeah, we got another Momo accidental bat spot. So she hit Saya by accident, and that led directly to Utami pinning her. I went 4 stars on this.
Yeah, me too.
I don't give a fuck if you don't think you can't go 4 stars in an 8-woman tag. This match was so fucking awesome.
Everything felt important in it,
everybody was great. Miyu looked great. Azumi looked great. I mean, obviously Starlight. Most people in this match always look great. But
there was a spot that I kind of marked out for a little bit that maybe a lot of people wouldn't have noticed, where it was kind of on the spur of the moment. It was, I think, Utami, Miyu and Azumi did the triple drop kick.
But it
wasn't set up and planned. It's they just kind of spontaneously did it, going back to the Queen's Quest days of the triple drop. It was cool because it's they didn't have enough time to plan it out together, but their instinct was to do it. That was so cool. I mean, there's so many moments like that in the match. Any fan that has, I think, followed the stories over the years would just love it.
So Saya was pissed at Momo afterwards. There was no actual turn yet. Momo backstage basically said, "You can't blame me," which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
It's you literally hit her with a bat, girl, but okay. It's you can't blame you.
And as we record this, apparently they're going back and forth against each. So being in the same block of the Grand Prix, that's going to be a big match coming up.
But yeah, this was really good.
It was awesome.
So we went to intermission after this. When we came back, Bozilla was at ringside.
Yes.
For the IWGP Women's title match. The crowd went crazy.
They went absolutely nuts when they noticed her. And they were chanting for her. I don't know if it was on the broadcast or not, but the crowd was absolutely eating up that she was back.
IWGP Women's title match. Shuri beat Rina Yamashita in 21-18 to make her fourth defense of this title. One big standout for this match for me, and it would turn to be the main event too. Shoot headbutts are even grosser when you're a
monster. Yes.
That's one of the only things where I'm like, I have to look away.
That
like,
thud.
Please stop cracking each other in the head. I'm begging you. Like, please stop doing that. This looks so gross.
That might be the first time I've seen shoot headbutts in person.
My God.
Yeah.
This match I thought took a little bit to get going, but once it got going, it was fucking great. Another 4.25. I saw some people be even higher on this than me. So.
I'd probably be 4.5.
Yeah.
I think I'm 4.5. 4.5, 4.25, I mean, in that range.
Yeah, incredible fucking match.
It was, and man, Yamashita is over as hell. That crowd was so behind her. And I think it's worth pointing out, too, like, we've seen this with some other Stardom matches in the past where, you know, like, Kurarad, you know, against Ito, people are like, oh, the crowd doesn't like Kurarad at all. Like, the crowd loves the challenger and the underdog. I mean, obviously, when Shuri won this, the crowd went nuts for her.
Okay,
but
we had like the Shuri's strongest soldier. Shuri's strongest soldier, easy for me to say, sitting like two rows behind us. You want to talk about this guy? Because you were very amused by him, Nicole. No, you don't want to talk about him. Well, you were the one who was like, oh. Yeah, Nicole basically said, like, during the show, was like, if Shuri has no fans,
he is dead. it's that meme, but yeah.
Yeah. Because he was, like, the entire match. Like, you have never heard a Japanese person be like, fucking crazier for one person. Just, like, just screaming for Shuri the entire
time. There was that one child singing behind us for the, was it the Hunch?
Oh, yeah.
That one child.
But yeah,
they give that man a run for his money, but that's it.
The Shuri fan, like, he, I don't know how he, like, how does he have a voice still? He did it for Suzu in the main event, too, after a while. Not right from the start, like, they were Shuri.
No, not like that.
Yeah. But he was, like, he was really, really, really into Shuri. So, you know what? God bless that guy. He was, like, the entire match, he was just going crazy for it.
But, no, this match was awesome. It was, I don't want to say the typical big Shuri match. She's just had so many great matches. We've seen this so many times through the years. I mean, I feel blessed that I've been able to see one in person now. Because she's always been one of my favorites. And this just hit every mark that you expect in a big Shuri match. And Yamashita was fantastic. And I was already excited to see her in the Grand Prix. But after this, I mean, to see...
Because she wasn't in it last year, right?
No, she wasn't. Yeah. And she hasn't really... That might be the first singles match she's had. I don't know, maybe she had Akira or something.
Yeah.
This is the first big singles match she's had in Stardom. So I can't wait to see what she's able to do in the Grand Prix. Because I think she's a fantastic worker and can work with anybody.
Then Natsu Poi came out to challenge. I was like, fuck yes, the Donna del Mondo or Mondo, whatever. The DDM fucking back lore matchup. We had Queen's Quest lore.
Yes.
Now we have DDM lore. And like...
lore is in.
And she also fucking cut the promo. She did a variation of Shingo's promo when he challenged Goto.
That's awesome.
And she was basically like, you know, you're cool and you have a belt and whatever. It's like, I don't have a belt, but I'm cute. And I have a really cool husband, and the crowd starts chanting for Takagi, which was fucking awesome.
I didn't notice that. That's amazing. I mean, the crowd was really into it, but that's amazing.
But yeah, so we're getting Poi and Shuri. It is for the July 18th opener, Ota War Gym. I honestly was like, can I book a plane ticket to go back? That sounds so awesome.
No kidding.
But man, what a fucking... That's going to be incredible. So that's for the Ota War Gym opener, the 5-star opener.
What's interesting with that then, too, is the last couple years, the Ota War opener, they've had like 16 matches on the show. Yeah. So I think that tells me there's not going to be as many. Yeah. I did the math in my head when they announced like how many shows there were. And I think it came out to like perfect. There would be like eight matches. You could do 8 matches every show.
So including the Ota War.
Yes. Yeah. And it would work out perfect.
Which I think
so
is a
maybe,
good idea,
maybe you do like 8 tournament matches and then this match and then maybe like one multi-tag or something for 10 matches, which is reasonable. The 16 matches is a lot.
It got excessive.
That's a lot. So I would love it if they take on that format.
But yeah, I mean, this would make sense to me though. Maybe have Poi win the title, and then defend it also at the final, and that's something for her to do. Obviously, she's not going to be in the tournament. But yeah, just I feel like I would have been madder about Poi and Suri not being in it if Poi didn't come out to do this challenge. Where I'm just like, okay, Poi is getting something.
So that
I'm
softens happy. The blow a bit.
It softens the blow.
Maybe if Poi doesn't win, maybe then Anno challenges at Sumo. You know, I could. It seemed like they were setting something up with Anno and Kurara, but maybe Anno is setting something, you know.
Because
that Sumo Hall show is going to have some title matches from the Grand Prix. So I could see Ano figuring big into that as well, along with Poirier, maybe.
My dream would be Poirier winning and then Surrey challenging her. That would be fucking crazy.
At Sumo Hall.
That would actually be like...
That'd be great.
Look up flights.
That would be great.
Wonder Stardom title, the semi-main event. This was Hanan beating Sayahida in 19 minutes and 36 seconds. Another fucking awesome match in like a never-ending series on the show. And again, I swear to God, I rated these sober. I did not rate any of these while drunk. But, you know, I really like seeing Hanan work on top for a change.
Yeah,
I feel like I've talked about this before on past episodes, where she always works as the underdog despite being, like, you know, physically bigger than a lot of her opponents. And here, you know, she was being pretty vicious at points.
Yeah.
She did, like, the MJF Heatseeker at one point in the match where she, like, did that the power drive against the ropes. Not a name I thought I'd be mentioning on this podcast. But, like, she did it better than MJF does it usually. Like, she fucking dropped her right over her head.
That was a sick spot.
That looked really, really nasty.
Yeah. I've never seen her do that before.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. And Ida, you know, came back and also got plenty of offense herself. I was ready to go even higher on this. I thought the end was a little flat.
Yeah.
I guess that would be my critique.
It just kind of came out of nowhere, which sometimes is good. I would have liked to have seen a little more of a crescendo with this, but, I mean, that whole finishing stretch was amazing. I mean, Ida hit her, it's like a muscle buster, you know.
But like a deadlift muscle
buster. Yeah, it's like a muscle buster power slam. Yeah. I mean, that place went nuts when Hanan kicked out of that. You know, Ida, what did Hanan hit, like a double backdrop driver and Ida kicked, I mean... Place was going nuts on every near fall.
And then so the muscle buster counter kind of got fucked up a little bit, and then they went to the finish with the roll-up. Mm. But yeah, 4.25 for this too. Could have been even higher with a better finish. But and then Matoy interrupted and joined Stars. So. And,
I mean, that got one of the biggest pops of the night. Crowd loves Matoy.
Yeah. The main event. I mean, this show had already been fucking great. I cannot say that enough. But this was like a fucking match of the year contender.
Yes.
I mean, this is going in my top 10.
Maybe the best match of both wrestlers' careers.
Yeah. So it was Suzu Suzuki defeating Sayaka Kurara in 21 minutes and 32 seconds with German suplex hold. So Sayaka fails in her second defense on her birthday. How dare you, Taro? And Suzu becomes the 22nd champion.
Despicable.
They did the powerbomb on the apron. I almost missed this. I had to pee again. So I ran out to pee right before the bell. I was like, okay, I was like, okay, clearly they'll wrestle on the mat or something for a little bit. No, they went, like, as they walked back in, they're doing the powerbomb.
They went right to it. They got right to it.
There was this one sequence where Suzu was in a sleeper hold. Because Sayaka does an awesome sleeper, which, again, I always put this over. It is so amazing that the art school unicorn fucking chokes people out in a sleeper hold. It's so cool.
But, and it's one of the best sleeper holds you'll see anywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's what's essentially a rest hold feels like a life and death struggle.
Well, again, I always put this over on this podcast in general. Why the fuck does the Idol Joshi promotion have some of the best submission wrestling and, like, best, like, I don't know, realistic...
Technical wrestling.
Like, technical wrestling, realistic wrestling in all of professional... It doesn't make any fucking... Like, Tokyo Joshi and Stardom, they both have some of the best technical wrestling. You will see a better chokehold on this show than you will see on your average American wrestling show.
Easy.
Pretty much ever.
Easy.
And I'm, again, this is supposed to be the cute girl. Like, oh, they're wearing cute outfits. I can't take it seriously. She's choking a bitch out, and you're trying to tell me you can't take it seriously. Okay. At one point, they stand back up, and Sayaka, like, fucking grabs her around the throat again, like, even harder, and just fucking ragdolls her back down. I was like, that looks so fucking sick. So, yeah, I wanted to mention that, too. They did a fucking top rope German.
Yes.
Like,
oh, my goodness.
And the landing on that was so fucking crazy. Like, she basically flips all the way over, kind of, but still, like, lands on the side of her, I think. And just, like, oh, my God. Looks so crazy. The entire closing stretch where she's basically, like, Sayaka's trying to get out of the Germans. And obviously, I didn't take my normal, like, volume of notes, so I apologize for that. But Suzu is, like, you know, basically just keeps getting her back in it. And again, being there in person and being able to see, like, Poi and Suri and Unimon and Aya, like, fucking, like, desperately cheering for her to get out of it and just take that last German and get pinned, put it all over the top even more.
That's a big part of the live experience, is being able to see that 360-degree view of all the seconds around the ring.
The seconds really do an amazing job.
It really adds to it. You can see their facial expressions, and they do such a great job of being locked in on the match, and it's amazing.
I mean, they react to it like they're watching a shoot, which is, I mean, they probably know who's winning, and they still somehow act like they don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know
who's winning. Maybe they don't.
I actually have no idea.
Actually, what are you saying?
If they know who's winning or not.
Who does?
The ringside people.
I've been wondering that, too. I literally had that thought today where I was wondering, like,
it feels so
told, or, like,
it feels so authentic.
What the actual... Yeah, because it does feel real.
Yeah,
they feel like they're just reacting in the moment of what's happening.
Like Sayori, especially when I remember after Sayaka got pinned, she had this like look on her face, like she was completely defeated, like the life drained out of her. She's kind of collapsed on the mat, and they pound their hands on the ring mat so hard for so long. I'm just like, how are your hands like even? Like you must lose feeling in your hands after a while. But yeah, incredible match. I mean. Again, living and dying with the result. It wasn't the result I wanted, because I'm a huge Sayaka fan, huge Comics and Angels fan in general. But I like Suzu. So it's not like I'm not on here mad about it. And Sayaka got her... You know, Sayaka forever will be the one who beat Sayaka Kamitani, ended that legendary reign. I'm not mad about this result. I like Suzu Suzuki a lot. I feel like going into this match, you had said, like, you weren't expecting Suzu to win, but you wouldn't be shocked. That was pretty much how I felt, too.
I was like 70-30. I was, yeah, 70-30 Sayaka, but I thought Suzu had a non, you know, a puncher's chance.
And when I had this thought during the match, I'm like, if Suzu loses again, there's kind of a lot of red belt challenges to lose. And, well, she just won it. But yeah, they did so much shit around the spear. Like, Suzu countered the spear with her own spear at one point, and Sayaka kept hitting the spear, and just, I don't know. I'm, like, rambling again, but, like, incredible fucking match. I'm sure the live bump probably helped, but this is 4 3/4 for me. I thought about 5. I mean, I really thought about 5. I love this match that much, and it's going straight on my match of the year.
I'm in that 4.5, 4 3/4 range, too. I mean, this was my first time seeing Kuwara in person, and...
What the fuck are people talking about with her?
She's unbelievable.
Like, what the fuck? I don't understand the Twitter takes when people are like, oh, she's not that good in the ring. What is she bad at? What the fuck is she bad at?
That was my thought was her... All of her offense is so good. She knows exactly... what she's capable of, what she's good at. She maximizes everything.
Her timing is amazing.
Her timing is great.
She has that baby face timing
where
she hits a fucking spear at the exact moment in the match where it's going to get the biggest reaction. And again, the people who are like, oh, well, Maki Ito got cheered against Sayaka. The crowd is still supporting Sayaka here.
Yes.
There were plenty of Suzu fans, but there were plenty of Sayaka fans too. So, I don't know. The Sayaka haters are fucking stupid. I don't know what to say. Like, I hate to say it, but like...
They're out of their minds.
Like, we're at the point of the stage of the Stardom thing where, like, it's getting backlash just because it's a cool thing to like, hate it or whatever. But that match was incredible. And the match with Saya was incredible. And I like the Maki Ito match way more than other people did. And her tag stuff with Aya was really good. Like, what are people watching? She had a great run with Cinderella this year, too. Who the fuck was that match I went 4.5 with on? I think it was the one she had with Rina. That match was awesome.
Yes.
Torikin won. That match was fucking awesome.
Yes.
And like, yeah, just, I don't know.
No, she's legit.
People are fucking blind.
She's legitimately great as an in-ring wrestler, even beyond her great ability to, you know, do the storytelling stuff and character stuff. She's, like I said, my first time, it's just like, man, everything, I don't know, everything hit. Everything that she did hit, and the crowd was living and dying on it. When she went up top, which seemed to be setting up for, like, to do the 450 splash again, like, my section was, like, gasping.
They
were like, everybody was like on the edge of their seat, like, oh my god, is she gonna do the 450 here? It was such a cool moment. I mean,
she does that Falcon Arrow, and like they were fighting over the suplex, and she just like kind of deadlifts her up, and they just fucking turns into the Falcon Arrow. Just one of the most impactful Falcon Arrows you ever see. And yeah, incredible match. Like I said, going straight into my top 10. I gotta figure out where to put it, but just
I need to say too, I have been one of Suzu's biggest critics in months past, years past. I think she's got it figured out right now. This version of her, this kind of cocky bully, perfect. It plays to all of her strengths, and she was awesome in this feud, awesome in this match. So as somebody who's been kind of critical of her at times before, I cannot praise her enough for this.
Yeah, and what like ballsy booking too, because they basically told the story that she had Sayaka's number and then she just beat her.
And then she .
So
you would have thought with all the times that she won that okay, Sayaka's gonna get her revenge finally.
Yeah.
And no.
Yeah, I mean, Taro kind of does some really unpredictable things sometimes in a good way, because like a lot of wrestling booking now, especially, is very predictable. So, yeah, I mean. Before this match, I was like, I don't know who I'm going to vote for promotion of the half year. So before the show, I should say. I was like, I don't know, Stardom or Tokyo Joshi. Those are the two kind of in the running for me for promotion of the half year. It's fucking Stardom again, I hate to tell you. Because after this show, I mean, you have this show of the year in the voting half year period. I mean, you know, I guess I'm spoiling myself for next week. But yeah, incredible fucking show.
Can we talk real quick about some of the booking, though, with the Red Belt match? Because I know that's probably going to be the big discussion. I love it. I as somebody who also was rooting for Kuwara to win, I think it's great because I think Suzu beating Saya would not have gone over as well. I don't think it really, I think that would have been, I don't know, it wouldn't have been the moment that Sayaka winning would have.
No, I think that was.
And then also too, Suzu is like a perfect target for like a Starlight Kid to try to defend. That might be your Dream Queen to match. Or if Momo turns face, you know, like she's a really good then person for a baby face to chase. So I think the booking works, and I think Kuura isn't hurt at all by it because she's the type of baby face that
it was her, a chase.
Yeah, her facing adversity is great for her. Like there's no.
Like you never want her to turn into like the favorite or whatever, like backlash or whatever. Now it's like okay, you can the Sayaka fans can like you know relax a little bit that she's not like the top person.
And then rally around her when she gets her next, you know, run to the top, which will probably be sooner than later with how good she is. So I do not, it was a decision I didn't expect. I have no issue with it, and I think it'll work out great.
Yeah, starting good, everybody. Starting good. See you in the podcast.
Newsflash.
I remember, they were talking about who's the Homer podcast for Stardom in the Voice Wrestling Discord. And yeah, it's definitely Wrestling Omakase, I have to say.
So Joshi around too. I mean, they always put it over too. But yeah, I mean. This is not the place to go if you're expecting the Stardom Hater Zone or whatever. I don't know what podcast that is, really, but is it Stardom Quest Gold, probably? They don't really like it very much despite having Stardom
You can dig up some of my posts in, like, 2023. I was not a happy Stardom fan back then, but right now they're doing everything right. And you feel it on the show when it had 11 matches and every match, you know, had a hot crowd and was over.
Yeah, I don't know what there is to complain about right now, really. But, you know.
I have, as somebody who's watched it for almost 10 years, I have no complaints.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're like 45 minutes. That's crazy. This is going to be the shortest podcast of all time.
I do also want to say, I guess, my overall take on the show. I think this was a top 10 Stardom show of all time. Mm. Maybe, I don't know, top 5 is probably pushing it with all the great Dream Queendoms and All-Star Grand Queen. Maybe challenging for a top 5, but I think comfortably a top 10.
I think it was better than this year's All-Star Grand Queendom.
If I go back and actually compare them side by side, I would not be shocked on that at all.
Yeah, it's at least close, at least, but I think it was probably a little better.
I mean, I think the floor of the matches was just so high. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a show where the floor was this high. The crowd was just... I can't put over the crowd enough. This crowd was awesome. They were so into everything. I mean, every match just felt big. Like, in so many of those undercard matches had good storyline components to them. Yeah. You have people trying to join factions. You have, you know, all the lore and history. Like, it was just an awesome show from top to bottom.
I don't know. I mean, like, how could you not be excited about what Stardom is right now? But I guess the haters will find a way. All right, folks. We're going to go to Mogra. Going to go enjoy some anime songs and go to the Annie Song Club. I don't really give a shit. It was 46 minutes. You know, you're getting 2 episodes out of me while I'm in Japan. You should be thankful. But anyway, thank you for listening. Want to plug anything? I can't. You don't want to plug anything.
Nah, I got nothing to plug.
I put your Twitter in the...
Perfect. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. We can follow Armani on Twitter. Folks, next week we'll be back to more like a regularly scheduled podcast. We're doing our fucking year... I guess next year's the... Or next week, next year. Next week, I'm not like half as tall, strong as your tall white, everybody. Next week, we're going to do the Mid-Year Awards episode.
Wait, when are we doing that next week?
Monday, the day after we get back.
That's dedication.
Nicole is like, what?
Well, do you know what next week is?
Okay, over a week from now, for Miss Pedantic over here.
Now you understand how it feels.
Monday the 29th. They're not going to put this up until fucking Sunday anyway. It's barely inaccurate. Monday the 29th. Oh, well, I guess they could put it up Saturday because it's still Saturday in
America. It's very much Saturday in America. Yeah. I keep being like, how are you guys so behind?
But yeah, the Mid-Year Awards episode. Paul's going to be on. Velky's going to be on. Armeth is going to be on. Snaz is going to be on. What a fucking lineup.
That's awesome.
We're going to give our Mid-Year Awards. So that's next week.
Always one of my favorite episodes every year. So I'm looking forward to that one.
But I already gave away our promotion.
Well... There goes the viewership.
But yeah, so that'll be next week on Wrestling Omakase. I'll be back in fucking Stinkland. Back in home of the bullshit. Land of the bullshit. What else can I say about America? It fucking sucks. It sucks even more after being every time you come here. It's like, well, I was talking with, I think it was that damn Chris on Twitter or something. Or maybe it was Ali who just left us. Somebody who just left. And I was just saying, like, yeah, I'm depressed for, like, a month. When I go back to America, I mean, how can you not be? Like, again, the
the Place Japan memes or whatever, I get it to a degree, but like Place Japan, but it's all, everything is better here. I don't know what to tell you. Like, everything is nicer. Everything
it's amazing.
Is cooler. Everything is more fun.
If you can just figure out a way to get here, everything takes care of itself once you're here.
I feel bad if you can't afford it.
Sure.
If you can't afford it, if there's some other reason why you're not coming, if like you're scared of the language thing or whatever, it's
not a problem at all.
Yeah, just fucking do it. Yeah. Get on a fucking. If you're scared of the 14-hour flight, fucking take Ambien if you have to. Whatever you have to do.
It really wasn't that bad for me.
It's pretty bad.
I'm short, so it doesn't. You know, I can fit in.
Really, easier. You're short. I didn't even notice. How short are you?
I'm like 5'8".
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, you don't have short person energy.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Some people have short person energy. I'm 6'1½", so I am, you know.
So Velke wouldn't hate me.
No. How tall is Velke? I don't even remember.
I have no idea.
I've never met him, so I can't tell you. It would be funny if Velke's short because he hates all the short wrestlers. It would be funny if he's like 5'5" or something.
Big psychoanalysis there. Velke, international man of mystery.
All right, folks.
He would tell you the same thing. If you can get to Japan, do it.
Yeah, there's no reason not to. Besides money. I mean, money is a thing. But like
outside of wrestling, I mean, I could just wander around all day, every day, and it would be one of the best trips I've ever been on.
But the wrestling's pretty fucking great.
The wrestling is amazing.
But yeah, I still have like 4 shows left or something. I have Unagi Sayaka tomorrow. Mm. We have the New Japan Korakuen Tuesday. We're getting Yuto Ice versus Taichi. Fuck yes.
Yes.
You haven't even been to Korakuen yet.
I haven't. I'm probably going to shed some tears when I walk in that building.
I cry like a baby the first time I went there. I can't even pretend I didn't. And I have the... what else do I have? I'm probably going to go to Kinogachi again. I haven't bought the ticket yet. I have Tokyo Joshi at KFC Hall Saturday, and I have DDT Sunday at Korakuen. So I have 5 shows left.
For a
Cole's giving me a dirty look right now, like, you fucking asshole.
Like we said, for like a non, like,
stop
prime...
Stop leaving me in this tiny room.
No. Some of those are when we're going to be...
I know,
here.
But at least, what, 2?
3 of them. 3 of them are going to Park Hyatt.
Two of them are, yeah.
We're going from here to the Park Hyatt, everybody.
That's a little bit of an upgrade.
A little bit of an upgrade, yeah.
Well, not directly.
No. Because we're going to Onsen in Gelo.
We're leaving the city.
Yeah. We're leaving the city. We're going to Onsen in Gelo. And then we're going to Shizuoka, which you loved. Mm-hmm. I love Shizuoka. It's a great fucking city.
It is. Really cool setting with like the mountains around it and everything. Yeah. I would definitely like to spend some more time there next time.
It has one of those like downtowns that's like still... You're still in Japan, so like the downtown area is still going to be nicer than like any other city. But it still feels very quiet compared to like Tokyo or Osaka. Did you go to the Surigaya? It's like the anime store right by the station.
Oh, I saw it. I did not go there.
It's so great.
I went to the castle they have downtown there. It was really cool too. But, as I was running around, like, oh, this isn't Osaka. Places actually do close at 10 p.m. here. But it's still very, very cool city, cool prefecture. I got out in the mountains a little bit on my way back, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool place.
And you went to Nagoya, too, which we're stopped. Where'd you go to Nagoya, by the way?
I stopped, I just kind of did some walking around there, and I stopped by a couple craft breweries there that were really cool. It was like Y Brewing or something, but they were telling me in there, they're like, yeah, this is kind of one of the more famous ones in Japan, so...
I can't remember the name of the district that has all, like, the anime stuff. It's, like, Uso or something? No, not Jey Uso. What the fuck? It might actually be that, though. Like, that might actually be the name.
Nagoya was nice for, you know, a lot of people kind of make fun of it. I know the people there make fun of it, and it's a really nice city.
It's a really, really nice city.
District. I can see where maybe it's not super touristy, but really nice city.
Osu! See, I reversed it.
Uso.
Osu. It's pretty funny. Well, we know Jey Uso is a King's Road wrestler, as we found out on Twitter recently. So he can come up on Wrestling Omakase. But yeah, okay, Osu. Osu's really good. I'm stopping there either on the way back from Gero or on the way to Gero. I can't remember which, but anyway. Folks, I got this almost to an hour. So we got close to an actual real podcast. But again, you can follow us on Twitter at Russell Omakase, Wrestling Would Not Fit. Next week, Nicole.
So many years you're still saying the same thing. It's part of the bit.
That is the bit.
I laugh at that every time.
There have been times I've forgotten to say it and people bring it up to me. They're like, you didn't fucking say it, Wrestling Would Not Fit. I'm like, I'm sorry. Look, okay? You try podcasting every week, all right? It's harder than it looks, except when you're drinking strong zeros in Japan, because then it's very easy. Yes, you can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase. You can follow me on Blue Sky at Just One MB. And that'll be it, folks. I'm going to Mogra. I'm drunk already, so the fact that their drinks are weak won't matter. And I'm going to listen to some anime songs. I will see you guys next week when I'm back in Stink Town. Goodbye. Stink country. Stink world. All right.
I think it was Stink Land.
Stink Land. Thank you. Stink Land. That is America. Land of the stink, home of the bullshit. See you next time, everybody.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.